Hey, everybody. In today's episode, I have special guest Mike Amato from Sportsnet to help me identify some potential trade targets and sell highs so you can gear up for your fantasy playoffs, which are rapidly approaching. You know what we have to do. Let's get to biz. This is Apples and Genos. You are listening to Cream of the Crop. Oh, yeah. Welcome in, everybody, to the Cream of the Crop Fantasy Hockey Podcast presented by Apples and Genos, the number one fruit-based fantasy hockey podcast out there. Come on. I'm your host, Blake Creamer. Please follow me over on Twitter /X at Blake Creamer AG. Also, you please get your biscuits into the Apples and Genos Discord. The link is in the description. We got well over 1,000 fantasy hockey managers in there. Talking on the regular, that's what I call my happy place. So just click the link. You can get in there. You talk to myself, Nate, Josh. We're all in there getting to biz. Also, Apples and Genos has a YouTube, so please check that out. Head on over to YouTube, search Apples and Genos if you want to see this ugly mug. All right, we're doing stuff over there, but that's not why you're here. All right, today I've got a very special guest with me to enhance your fantasy hockey experience. All right. He's the co-host of the Sleepers and Keepers Fantasy Hockey Podcast. He's a writer for Sportsnet and Goalie Post, plus he's the president of the Phil Kessel Fan Club. Michael Amato, how you doing today, buddy? It's really good to see you.
Doing well, Blake. Yeah, president might be a little bit of a stretch, but yeah, I remember Kessel fondly in Toronto.
Don't be modest, Mike. All right. You've done a lot of good work with that organization. All right. You know, you've branded him as the hot dog man, which I think is a good situation for Phil Kessel. So that's nice. I heard you guys on your recent pod talking about Kessel and this hot dog thing is crazy. I actually don't even know where that started. Did he have a picture of him like just gulping a hot dog down, or what's the situation here?
I think it was something in Toronto. There was like a column about, yeah, he liked to eat hot dogs. And, you know, I think everybody knows that, you know, Phil Kessel and fitness are not the most, but it doesn't seem to bother the guy. Like he's got the all time games record. He's played a ton of, so he's still rolling right along. And he can skate like the wind. So it doesn't really matter.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, that's hot dog power, you know,
ask me about my wiener.
I can't think about hot dogs too much. I just have to eat them without really thinking about what's going on. But yeah, buddy, how's your season's been going? Cause I haven't talked to you since I think we did a ADP battle in draft season there. So how's it been going for you?
Pretty well. It's time flies, you know. I feel like in my league we have 3 or 4 matchups left and then it's playoff time. So the season's really gone by fast. But yeah, it's exciting. Trade deadlines are coming up in a lot of leagues. So doing well in my main league. That's the main thing.
That's sweet, buddy. Yeah. Speaking of the trade deadline, yeah, it's March 8th. Are you expecting kind of a big event this year, or like what are your thoughts on the trade deadline, and is there anyone you're kind of looking at as a potential, you know, maybe stash for what's coming up?
Yeah, I think it feels like when I was a lot younger, the deadlines used to be so much better. Now it feels like most of the moves get done like in the weeks leading up. And, you know, last year, I don't think there was many big names that went on the actual day, but like the few days before it was cool. I don't know about stashes. Like, I think there's some players that could move on the lower end, but one guy I really hope gets traded. I don't think he will, but is Boone Jenner. I know you're a big
Jenner guy.
Yeah. I would love to see that guy get traded. I was looking at it. I think I tweeted about it last week. I was looking at his contract. He's like 2 more years at 3.7 is such a good deal for like any team. He fits anywhere. It just feels like get him out of Columbus, get him into the playoffs. Like that's what I want to see.
The guy's underrated at every level. Fantasy, real life, like what contract? Yeah. What the hell? This man's a unit. But yeah, I would actually if he did go somewhere else, I think that his fantasy production would probably drop off a little bit. So, you know, I'm selfish. I want the fantasy production. So stick it out, Boone, and then move in the offseason. That's what I'm hoping. But I'm excited. I'm excited regardless because I pay attention to this stuff, but like, you know, Chris Tanev, that's our big player. Like, wow, we picked up Chris Tanev. This is exciting stuff. What do you think the Leafs are going to do? Or what do they need?
I feel like they need like it seems easy to say they need a forward and a D, but I feel like they need a pretty impactful forward and a D. Yeah. I mean, I would love someone like Boone Jenner to the Leafs, but that seems like it's going to take a lot to get him. I think the Toronto's thing is they don't want to get another rental because they've been burned by those guys leaving in the past. So I think for them, if they can get somebody with term that fits into their salary structure, they could do it. But yeah, I think Tanev, it sounds like they've been around Tanev forever, but they don't have a second round pick for like 3 years. Yeah. So it's going to be hard to get them. I feel like they're either going to do a couple of small moves or maybe like one big move where they combine like a bunch of their assets to get a couple pieces. But yeah, we'll see. I could see like one of the Calgary defensemen coming their way.
Yeah, you know what? You wouldn't be hating that. I know Tanev pretty well from being here, and this guy is amazing. Like when he's in the lineup, because he's majorly injured.
That's the thing. He scares me when I watch him. It feels like he's like an injury waiting to happen.
Straight up, he's taking pucks to the face. He doesn't care. But this guy is amazing. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, my fear is he also becomes like a whipping boy here, because like they're gonna lose. Let's say they lose in the first round, and they're like, oh my god, like Chris Tanev had 2 points in 20 regular season games and 7 playoff games. And, you know, he's gone and we gave up all this for him. Like, I just feel like, but it's, he's an interesting player for sure at his age, but if they could re-sign him maybe on like a decent deal for like the short-term deal, maybe that's something they could look at, but yeah, it'll be interesting.
Canadian markets, man. We were born in the wrong cities. I would love, we could be living in Tampa Bay, in Florida, wherever, and just loving life. These, you know, Tampa's won the Stanley Cup, Carolina. Oh my God. That kills me when I think about that.
I'd say the Canucks, they have a good chance as anyone this year. They look really good. Like, they're not a lot of weaknesses there.
I'm just waiting for the floor to fall out. And that's typical Canucks fans. You know, I'm still positive, but, you know, my God, they just got pumped 10-7. Like, can you lose in a normal manner? For God's sake.
The Joel Eriksson game that brought a happy tear to my eye. He's one of my favorites. Yeah. But no, like the Canucks, they kind of remind me a lot of like the Lightning from a few years ago. Like they have these 4 or 5 like really high end players, and then they have like Demko there, like just as the backbone. So like, I don't know if Demko plays well, I could see them going far, but we'll see.
Yep. They got some pieces. I don't know. Fingers crossed. All right. Canucks Leafs in the final. Oh, buddy. No. What the hell?
Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter would melt down.
Yeah. We'll just get on a pod and live stream, you know, an entire game. That sounds amazing. All right. We got to get to biz here. Mike, first off, this is kind of a trade target show. So just a quick question for you. Do you find yourself making a lot of trades in fantasy? And if so, like, have you bought low on anyone this year or sold high on anybody that's been to your benefit?
So I do make a few trades every year, but I'm not one of those guys that, you know, likes to give away his like top draft picks for players. So I'm usually more of like, I'll give you an example. Like a couple of weeks ago, I traded, I think it was my ninth round pick, Ryan Stroman, Ryan Graves for my sixth round pick, Ryan Stroman, Ryan Graves for a ninth round pick and Tyler Seguin and Colton Parayko. So just like a small upgrade there. Yep. I don't really, once you get past like the first 4 rounds in my league, I feel like, the draft picks become like pretty comparable. So I'm not too worried about that, but I'm not a huge sell high guy. I am a buy low guy. I like to buy low. if I have guys that are doing well, like I usually tend to just ride the wave until it lasts.
Until the wheels fall off.
Yeah. Cause I've been burned with that before, especially with goalies. You think like, oh, he'll quiet down in a couple weeks. And then they just have these like crazy seasons, you know? So, but yeah, I do like to make some swaps for sure, but I'm definitely not a guy that goes all in and burns all his like future draft picks.
Yeah. No, I'm the opposite of that. Yeah. I'll burn it all, buddy. I'm a win now all the time guy, but yeah, I mean, I feel comfortable with my player evaluation. So like when I get a guy or I get off a guy, I'm usually pretty confident in that. But you know, what's funny, a lot of people, they treat trades in fantasy like they're actual GMs. You know what I mean? Like they want to make these big moves. And I love taking advantage of that. Like I don't ever put out these big trades, like 3 for 3 crazy superstars.
Some
I'm more
people
like
do. Yeah. Subtle. Actually, I'll get your opinion on this. I made a trade today. I wonder if I paid too much. So I traded for Jeremy Lazan, who leads the league in hits by like a wide margin. Yep. Yeah. I played against him last week and he got 24 hits in 3 games, basically won the category by himself. I gave up a 5th round pick because I feel like if you have him, you almost win that category every week. So that's the trade I made today. So, and I got an eighth round pick back, but I just feel like going into the playoffs, that's the kind of like the one thing I'm missing. So maybe I overpaid a bit, but we'll see what happens.
And it's a category league.
Yeah. So it's like, there's 12 categories, eight skater, four goalies. You get 2 points for winning a category. So if you win hits, it's just as good as winning goals or assists or whatever.
You just picked up Austin Matthews, buddy.
Yeah.
Like straight up.
Kind of felt like it. I'm looking at his game log and he's got like 7 hits, 8 hits, 9 hits.
He's ridiculous. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of really, it took a while to negotiate the deal because the guys was in dead last and he wanted a really high pick for him, but yeah, it worked out. We'll see what happens.
I love it. I love Jeremy Lauzon, and thank you for bringing that up. I've been singing this man's praises all year. And yeah, I love that. In a category league, he's Austin Matthews, pure and simple. That's it. So there you go. All right. Well, sometimes something I try and do here, Mike, is just identify players that are not being valued correctly, as I mentioned to you offline there. Maybe we can exploit that for our own devious intentions, all right, and smash our opponents. Right. Yeah. For example, I had in this last episode, I had Philip Forsberg as a buy low, but we know he's not a buy low, but he had a bad stretch. So I try and kind of, you know, have little segments of time where it's like, yeah, you might be able to do something with this guy if his fantasy manager is getting a little squirrely. So that said, today, Mike and I are going to quickly review last show's buy lows and sell highs. And then we brought a couple players to discuss as potential trade bait and trade targets. Let's head to a little place called the Cream Exchange. Join me, won't you? All right, here we go. We're talking sell highs, buy lows. So, Mike, I'll just give you a real quick rundown on these and get your thoughts on these players. The first player I had as a sell high in our last show was Sean Monahan. And this was right after he was traded to the Jets. So, and he was cooking with Montreal. He had 11 points in 7 games before the trade. And yeah, so since the show, he has 4 points in 6 games, but all 4 of those points were goals in the last 2 games, including a hat trick there. In Winnipeg, he's power play 1, which is nice, but he's line 2 with Ehlers and Perfetti. And this guy, I still think he's a sell high, especially with this after this hat trick. But he kind of reminds me of Ryan O'Reilly when he got that hat trick with Toronto last year. And then everyone just kind of went nuts, like trying to acquire this guy. So I do still think he's a sell high. Like Sean Monahan is not a guy that shoots very much and he doesn't generate a lot of chances, right? So he's working off efficiency and power play production. So I don't know. Do you see Monahan, Mike, as being anything more than a streamer moving forward? Or is this a player we should care about rest of the season?
I agree with the sell high thought on him. I just think I think he was in the perfect spot in Montreal. Yeah. And I kind of view the Jets a little bit as like the Hurricanes of the West. Like everyone kind of gets slightly downgraded to me just because of the style of play that they play, if that makes sense. I've kind of made my thoughts on Carolina players a little bit like this in the past. I just think their ceilings are a little lower than some places because they roll 4 lines. You know, the Jets are very similar, very tight, structured style. So I think it'll probably hurt Monahan there overall a little bit. But yeah, I think he could be okay as a streamer, but yeah, I don't see him as like a huge impact player the rest of the way. It seems like a trade that was like very playoff focused and a guy that they're going to lean on in the playoffs. But
yeah, absolutely. A better trade in real life than it is for fantasy. For sure. Yeah. Cause this guy's great, but I just don't see how that's going to continue. And yeah, especially with this hat trick now, you might be able to flip him for something like something I like to do. And as we lead up to our trade deadlines here is 2-for-1s. And I like guys like Monahan as like a sweetener. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this guy and a high draft pick or like, you know, just things like that to try and get a bigger fish. So I do still like Monahan for that. He's keeping the sell high window open by scoring a Hattie. Thank you, my man. All right. This is a player. I'm the next player here. I'm actually very interested in your take on because I've been taking a lot of heat for this guy. I've been basically calling him a sell high all year and he's making me look like a dingus. And it's none other than Matt Duchene. Was that Duchene again? Oh, God, it was Duchene. So before the last show, he had 10 points in 10 games. And then since the show, he's got 10 points in 6 games. Buddy, what the frick is Matt Duchene doing? I mean, this is crazy. He has the highest on-ice shooting percentage of his career at 15.6%. All right. Second highest shooting percentage of his career. All right. Highest IPP of the last 7 seasons. This guy's 33. What the hell? I mean, where are you at with this player? Do you think that first off, he's pacing for an 84 point pace there. And, you know, he's crushing out there. What do you think? What should we do with Matt Duchene? Are we buying this that he's an 84 point player while he still gets line two, power play two in Dallas?
Yeah, it's a weird one. I definitely recommended dropping Duchene, I want to say, in the second or third week of the season.
Me too, buddy.
I was all over that train because I feel like he hasn't been super relevant in the last few years, other than that one year in Nashville where everyone had like a really inflated shooting percentage.
Yes.
So I'm pretty shocked by it, but it's starting to feel like it's one of those things where you just can't explain it and you just roll with it and get out of the way and enjoy the fruits of his labor. Because I will say this, the Stars do seem to be more than a one line team this year. They're definitely moving some things around. Like I know they moved Pavelski down and Johnson up recently. They're trying to, I think, balance out the scoring. And yeah, that line with like Sagan, Duchene, like it's producing pretty well. So I don't know. Like I think you could like trade him for a good haul, but I think if you keep him, like there's nothing wrong with that. I actually don't think he's going to slow down too much here.
Oh God. He has to, otherwise, you know what, my reputation, just straight in the toilet. But yeah, I still don't get it. Like it's just not a type of player that I'm in on, like line two. This team though, that Dallas might have the best second line in the league. Like Duchene, Marchman and Sagan, like what the hell?
Yeah, they're looking really good, and they're spreading the minutes out more too. So I know it's like a second line, but they're getting lots of chances too.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because sometimes they're getting prioritized even late in games over the top line with Hintz and Robertson, right?
Yeah.
So, anyways, Matt Duchene. I mean, thank you for your service. I don't know. what do you think? Like, also, I do want to mention. Sorry, I'm stepping all over myself here, but. Matt Duchene, I just wanted to let everyone know his schedule in weeks 24 and 25, it's not great, right? Like Dallas in, like if you have a bye, let's say. So March 25th to April 7th, Dallas only plays six games with one off night. So I don't know. That's another reason for me to just see what you can do. I mean, this guy's on an 84 point pace. You might be able to get someone, even if you take a little bit of a hit, right? You get a guy who's on a 70 point pace. Who the hell cares? Like, I think this is a major sell high, and I'd be happy to get off him for someone with a more consistent role.
Or you look at somebody like a positional need that you need more of, like a D or a goalie. Maybe you can flip him for that, and it helps your roster out more. So.
Yep. Yeah, so true. All right, enough on Matt Duchene. I don't ever want to talk about this man again, except if he's fallen off the face of the earth with this production. All right, that's it. Next player I had was Lucas Raymond as a sell high. So when I was talking about him, he had 7 points in five. Now he's had 5 points in five since the show. So yeah, he's still doing the thing. I still think he's a sell high, right? But in Detroit too, their power play deployment, it's getting interesting. Kind of like you described with Dallas, like they do like a 1A, 1B situation there. So no one's really getting big minutes with the man advantage. I think that Raymond is a good young player. 69 point pace, while nice, doesn't seem fully sustainable to me. So I don't know. Do you have Lucas Raymond anywhere? And do you think he can continue this pace the way they deploy their lines there in Detroit?
Yeah, the thing that kind of worries me about Detroit is they kind of frequently juggle the top six. They move it around a lot. I know he was up there with, recently with like the Brinkhead and Larkin, but then now Kane is back, and I think I saw like Rasmussen up there the other day. So that would always be something that worries me about Raymond, is that like they'll change things around and he'll be in a bad spot. Like the Brinkhead was in a bad spot for a while, and now he's up. So teams like that always worry me. Colorado's a bit like that, like with Drew and Colton and Lekkonen. Yep. Like they seem to always move things around. So. I think I would try and maybe see what you can get for Raymond. Because he doesn't feel like he's quite there yet, like you're saying, at that 70 point pace type of a player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think moving forward, like he's not a player they're really going to prioritize. They've got Kane in there for a reason. I think DeBrincat, he hasn't been being prioritized lately, but I think they know that they sort of need to lean into DeBrincat a little bit. So I see Raymond as sort of being the odd man out there, but that's my two cents. Do you like Matchbox 20, Michael Amato?
I used to like them. I have not listened to them much in the last few years. But yeah, when I back when I was in high school, I remember a few songs.
Okay. All right. Well, then you must be a huge fan of Robert Thomas. Oh, what a segue. Unbelievable stuff here. That's what we call Robert Thomas in the Apples and Genos Discord. He's basically known as Matchbox 20. That's just really creative nicknaming right there. I don't know where I'm going with this. All right. So previous to talking about Robert Thomas, I had him as a sell high. He had 8 points in six. And then, of course, now he has, since the show, 10 points in the last six games. I don't even know what to say about this guy at this point. Like, he's on a 93-point pace. I'm not valuing him that way, but he just keeps going. His deployment is crazy. He's got shockingly bad metrics, but I don't know. Good offensive players find a way. And I think this is a player that's clearly benefited from a coaching change there. So, Mike, I would ask you, would you consider Robert Thomas a sell high at this point, or is this just the player that he is?
I kind of think it's the player that he is. I don't think he's as valuable in like non-points leagues. Like, yeah, he's very much just a points guy. But I like that top line in St. Louis, like Buchnevich and Kyrou. Like, they've been together for a while now. They've all been playing pretty well. Thomas has always been good, kind of around like a little under a point per game for his last year or so. Like, he's been pretty steady. A lot of assists, but. Yep. You know, I think he's pretty good value there. If you're in just a points league, I think there's no issue with holding him. I think, unfortunately, like, you know, if you're not in a points league, guys like him are a little bit harder to trade because he doesn't have, you know, great shot volume at all. So it's a little tricky to kind of get the value back for him that you might feel like you deserve. So that's the case where I usually think maybe just hold on to him. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have some love for Robert Thomas because this guy, you know, at points in the season, he was on the waiver wire. At one point of the season, he was 25% owned on Yahoo. What?
Yeah, he goes way. He kind of always starts kind of sputterish, and then he just picks it up and gets going. And, you know, he's not always drafted that high. But yeah, people just look at him, and after a while, they're like, wow, this guy's got like 10 points in 10 games, and you pick him up, and he just doesn't really slow down after. So.
Yeah. No, this guy's been a slam dunk this year, but it's all based on massive efficiency, which is kind of his calling card. But it just makes me nervous. You know, when you got a guy who's super efficient and doesn't shoot, doesn't get chances, and yet he's still lighting up the world. It's like, you know, what happens if he stops scoring? You know, now we've got. It's just a bad situation. But 92 points. Thank you, Robert Thomas, for your service. Matchbox 20, all time great band. Mike Amato approves. All right, let's move on to the buy lows. We'll go real quick here with the buy lows because I want to get into the new ones here. So last show, Kyle Connor was one of the buy lows that we had.
Sarah Connor.
Yes.
You know, he's had 5 points in six games since the show. Where are you at with Connor at this point? Because, yeah, it doesn't look like the same player. I know he came back off injury and maybe that's part of it, but he hasn't really been cooking the same way that we know he can. And the assists too have kind of gone away a little bit, which is interesting. So should we be concerned or should we be trying to acquire Kyle Connor at this point, Mike?
Yeah, I'd be a bit concerned. Injuries are always, you know, tough to kind of jump back in and get back on the pace you were scoring at before you got hurt. Like, I think he was almost at like a 50 goal pace before he went down. And I think the Jets are a lot different team now than when he was hurt. Now they're, you know, they really have an identity. They're kind of a low scoring team. They don't give up much. They don't generate much, but they just find ways to win. So yeah, I don't know. The talent is there. Like, he's a great scorer. And I mean, fantasy, as in the real NHL, I think goals are always the hardest to find. So he can score for you. But yeah, I'd see, you know, if you get a really good deal on him, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a look at acquiring him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not so concerned about the goal scoring at this point, although in the last five games, like, he's 216th overall in shots to goal per 60, which is not common for him. Like, on the season, he's 24th overall in shots to goal per 60. So I don't know what's going on in the last five games. The Jets haven't looked very good, especially in that last game there against Calgary. Like, Rick Bonus came out and just ripped everybody. So Rick Bonus is doing Rick Bonus things. And I don't know what's going on with Kyle Connor at this point, but ultimately, you know, rest of season, I'm still pretty high on this guy. He is a buy low, but keep in mind too, Nate and I have been talking about this, like, their playoff schedule for weeks 23 to 25, the Jets, it's not good. right? They got 10 games with one off night. So obviously Connor's going to be in your lineup, but yeah, it's not ideal. So just keep that in mind if you're out there trying to acquire Kyle Connor. All right. Philip Forsberg was one of the other ones I talked about. He had just gone, it was like a 5-game stretch with 1 point or something. And now he's had 4 points in 4 games since the show. But there are two, he's had 2 straight games with only 15 minutes time on ice. He did get 2 points in one of those games. What do you think about Philip Forsberg this year? Did you get him anywhere? Because he's obviously been amazing so far this season and a value in draft season. But do you think he's kind of fallen off a little bit?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about Nashville. As a guy who has like Gus Nyquist, that whole kind of top line. Like I think O'Reilly was kind of scoring at like an unsustainable rate. Yeah. And I think that was kind of helping Forsberg to start the year. Like to me, he was even scoring at a little bit higher rate than he's normally does. Like to me, he's more like a 75 point guy. And he was way up there on pace earlier in the year. So I think Riley's starting to slow down. I think Nyquist is slowing down. I'm a little bit worried about, like, obviously you're not, you know, necessarily going to get rid of Forsberg, but yeah, I don't know if I love him as a buy low. I think we might be seeing a little bit of a slide for the Preds. I think they could make maybe some moves at the deadline and be sellers, which might not help them overall. So they're a team that I'm kind of maybe fading a bit the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's interesting because, yeah, I still do think Forsberg is a really viable player. Definitely not a buy low at this point anymore just because he is still putting up points. And, like, his metrics on the season are stupid. Like, this guy on the year, first off, he's on an 82-point pace. He's 10th overall in shots on goal per 60, but he's 3rd overall in shot attempts per 60. That's pretty damn nice, right? Like,
oh, yeah, he's a great player, yeah. Like, I'm not, if I had him, I wouldn't be, like, super concerned. I just wouldn't be, like, you know, giving up a lot to get him at this moment.
Yeah. And it's an interesting piece as well. Like, what is Nashville going to do with the deadline? I think they'll be sellers too. Right. So, but I don't know if they don't sell Roman Josi, like we're still looking okay. I mean, I don't know. Josi and Forsberg can still do the thing, but yeah, it's certainly not going to help. I don't think. All right, let's move on. Arturi Lehkonen, you mentioned him a little bit earlier. I had him as a buy low just because he had just come back off injury and he wasn't getting any points. Plus he was on that third line. But now, since that last show, he's had 7 points in 7 games, including a 4-point explosion, which made me look pretty good for one day, which was really nice. But you know, where are you at with Lehkonen rest of season? They are obviously doing some interesting things with their lines there. Jonathan Drouin and Lehkonen kind of switching back and forth. And also, do you think he keeps the top line, top power play, and what happens when and if Nichushkin comes back?
Yeah, it's a bit of a wild card there. If Nichushkin comes back, I think it's going to hurt guys like Drouin and Lehkonen, but I do really like Lehkonen right now. Yeah. I grabbed him the other day, a weird like 4:30 a.m. move as my daughter woke up and I was rocking her back to sleep. I'm just on my phone and I'm like, oh, the days have reset for the next day. And I'm like, Lehkonen got 4 points. I'm like, I feel like Lekkonen's going to be a good player down the stretch here. I'm going to try and grab him because he was sitting there on waivers. So I think he's going to be fine. I kind of like that he's like on line two, but still pretty. I know he's getting some good power play time, but he's on line two and still producing. I feel like he's almost overtaken Drouin, even though like Drouin's kind of still up there. And I think he does a little bit more for category coverage than someone like Drouin. So I really like Lehkonen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember Lehkonen, like I keep thinking about back to last season, the end of last season. And I don't know if you remember this, but Colorado had an amazing fantasy schedule. And I felt like for the last like 2 months of the season, I was like, go get some Colorado players. You got Lehkonen, you got Nichushkin, you got JT Compher, like get Sam Girard, get them all, right? And I had Lehkonen on every spot and he was crushing until he got injured. But he has tenure with his team and there's history of him getting the 20-minute treatment. And even though he has been on line two, like you mentioned there, especially in the last game, like three of his last 5 games, he has over 20 minutes time on ice. That's amazing. And Jared Bednar does that in Colorado, and you want to be on one of these players, right? Like even JT Compher was viable last season because he was getting like 21 minutes, whereas Lehkonen, this is a guy that actually shoots and gets chances and hits, and plus he's on power play one, and that's really what's going to keep Lehkonen's floor up. So he's certainly not a buy low anymore, and I would you know think that he'll probably get back on line one at some point because I don't know what they're doing with this Jonathan Drouin experiment. Like, why are they giving him so many minutes?
Yeah, it feels like like Lekkonen is the guy that they really trust, right? So like Drouin might be on that top line, but when, you know, in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game, it feels like Lekkonen's ice time goes up, right? They're leaning on him more. So that's why his numbers, ice time numbers look really good. So yeah, if I had a choice right now between Lekkonen and Drouin, I would go with Lekkonen.
You're damn Skippy, Mike. I love to hear it. All right. And the last one we'll talk about, we don't have to get on this guy too much. This is my biggest win from the buy low section. It's Travis Konecny. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to this, you know, he was kind of, I think he had 1.5 games or something like that. Well, how about 11 points in 6 games since the show? Yeah. If you only listen to one player from our last Cream Exchange, hopefully it was Travis Konecny, because this guy's popping the hell off. And still with Travis Konecny, his power play performance is shocking. Like Philadelphia's power play performance in general, but this guy's got 53 points on the season, 6 power play points. He has 6 shorthanded points too. Like what is going on over there in Philly with their power play?
Yeah, the probably is not great, but it feels like Konechny's always undervalued. I always find he goes way too late in drafts. He's like if he's healthy, he's like a 40 goal scorer easily. You know, lots of skill, fills a bunch of categories. So yeah, I love Travis Konechny.
Awesome. Yeah. And you know what? This reminds me, I like the correlation you made between Rod Brind'Amour and Rick Bonus. And let's throw John Tortorella in there as well.
He's right? In there.
Like, you know, they're pissing us all off. They don't give a damn about our fantasy teams, but they do have usually one or two players on each team that is consistent, right? And I think Travis Konecny is that guy for Torts, right? This guy's the most solid fantasy option on Philly, in my opinion.
Tortorella, you always have to be worried about the occasional sudden scratching of no matter who it is, like you draft, like he could be scratched for like a key game at some point and you could just screw up your roster. But that's the risk you take with drafting like Tortorella players.
Just for the love of Pete, just hope that any of your Philly players don't try a Michigan type goal from behind the net. Otherwise, they're out for a week. All right. No, we don't need that. All right. TK doesn't do that, though. He's good to go. Okay, let's get into the good stuff here. We got new sell highs, we got new buy lows, and I've got Mike to bring a couple for each. So let's do that. First off, I want to start with one of mine, and it's Patrick Kane. Yeah, Patrick Kane has been interesting, to say the least, since he's been over with the Detroit Red Wings. You know, he's pacing for 79 points right now, which is honestly more than I thought he would. And the metrics are actually decent too. Like on the season, he's 42nd overall in shots to go per 60. And he's 79th overall in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. And it's a little bit surprising to me, to be honest, like especially coming off the surgery that he had, right? And then in the last 5 games in particular, 7 points in 5 games. So let me tell you why I think he's going to be a sell high. And I just think that his production at 5-on-5, it's not sustainable. Like I dug into the numbers a little bit here. He's got the highest IPP he's ever had at 5-on-5 at 88%, right? And his highest shooting percentage he's ever had at 19%. This is of his entire career. Like we're talking about, you know, how old is he? He's 35, right? And now all of a sudden he's popping off with some of the highest numbers of his career. That's going to come down, right? And I just think that the Detroit power play is also constantly changing, right? As we talked about a little bit there, Mike, the even strength deployment, top 6 is all over the shop. Not to mention Kane's ice time is the lowest of his entire career. So to me, all that said, this guy has name recognition, right? People still think Patrick Kane is like a league winner, right? Oh, I got to stash Kane. He's going to win me my league. Like, you know, he's not going to hurt you by any means, but I think that this guy has some inflated value currently. And I also think that Detroit has not a great playoff schedule, right? In weeks 23 to 25, they only got 9 games with 2 off nights. So I don't know. What do you think about Patrick Kane as a sell high? And, you know, would you be trying to get off him if you owned him?
I don't know if I'd be trying to get off him, but I think he is a good sell high candidate for a lot of the reasons you mentioned. Yeah, the biggest thing concerns me is like that surgery, his age. You know, he's already missed a little bit of time with another injury. So like as the season goes on here, as the schedule gets more congested, I wonder almost if they have to like go easy on his minutes a little bit just so he's kind of fresh. It just worries me, you know, his health. Like these surgeries we've seen with some other players, whether it's like Nicholas Backstrom, it hasn't gone so well. Like right now, Kane looks pretty good. I would just be a little bit concerned about that. And I find it, like you said, the production level he's at, I find it hard to, it's going to be hard for him to sustain.
Yeah. No, that's a really interesting piece too, about maybe keeping him fresh for the playoffs, right? Like that's a real thing. This guy's an older guy with major injuries behind him, right? So I could absolutely see something like that happening.
Yeah. If there's a scenario where it feels like they're going to be fighting for a spot, but if there's somehow a scenario where they kind of wrap up a spot, then yeah, maybe they're going to dial his minutes back a bit. Maybe he gets the odd night off, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Load management. Giggity. All right. Let's move on. Mike, why don't we talk about one of yours? Who did you bring to the table, my man?
For Sell High, I brought a goalie, Joey Decord. Obviously been pretty incredible this year, pretty out of nowhere. I don't think anybody drafted that guy, probably. But he's been maybe the best 0G find. Maybe him or Alex Lyon, I'd say, like maybe those two guys. They've been excellent. So I just feel like the Kraken are kind of, I don't know, they don't give me a lot of confidence going forward. I think they could sell off a piece or two if they fall out of the race here. And Decord's been still pretty strong lately, had a tough game the other night. He's been really consistent, but I just wonder if he's going to be able to sustain that all the way through down the stretch. A tricky schedule too. Like I know they play the Canucks this week. Like there's some tough matchups coming up. I wonder just what, you know, you could get out there for him. I think goalies are a little tougher to sell high because they're like in such demand right this time of year. So you might just want to keep them, but yeah, you could probably get something decent for him if there's a goalie like needy team in your league.
Yeah. I love the idea too of taking a player that you picked up off of waivers and turning that into like a legitimate roster player. Like something about that is super satisfying to me. Like you got this guy on waivers. No one drafted Joey Decord. All right. Unless you're in like a, you know, like a 32 team league and you're like at the bottom, you're like, okay, I guess I'll take, what is this? Joey Decord. Okay. Yeah, I'll take him. But do you worry at all about Philip Grubauer coming back as well? Cause now that he's healthy, do you think that Decord holds the crease moving forward or does Grubauer eat into that?
So I think he will still hold the crease, but I do think, you know, he was playing a ton of games there in a row for a while. So I think Grubauer will probably work in there a little bit more. And I also think like if you're a team sort of like a fantasy team in the bottom of the standings in your league, I feel like you can really turn goalies into something because, you know, I feel like teams at the top will overpay for goaltending because it's pretty hard to find, right? Injuries have hit, you know, there are a lot of goalies kind of fade out. Like if you had, let's say you had Cam Talbot at the start of the year, you know, now you might be a top five team in your league and now you're kind of scrambling for a goalie in a sense. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to be made there with someone like Decord.
Yeah, no, he's got some great value. And to be honest, Seattle's team metrics, they aren't terrible. But this is such a weird team, isn't it, Mike? Like, I remember last year, they were just on a shooting percentage bender. Like, everybody on the team was going nuts. The team at 5-on-5 was number one overall in shooting percentage. That's gone down a little bit. Like, that was due for regression. But, I mean, their team metrics defensively this year have actually been a little bit better than last year. Like, I was just digging in there. What is it? Yes, 11th overall in Corsi against per 60 at 5-on-5. Pretty nice. So they're limiting shot attempts. They're fifth best in scoring chances against per 60 as well. So that's kind of a nice place to be for a goalie. So that is going to keep Decord's value, I think, high as long as he's the number one there. They could use some work on their PK. I think they're 20th overall in PK. So just so you're aware of what Seattle is doing currently, but Joey Decord, I've got him in three spots. And I'm loving it, right? Because yeah, he's 0G. This is going to be one of your 0G guys. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about him rest of the season. They do have a good playoff schedule in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I saw that. There's 1 week I think where they play like Anaheim back to back, which is really good too. So
pretty damn nice. I mean, if you are going to sell Decord, use that, right? I mean, you there's lots of stuff in here where you can kind of you know, inflate his value. But yeah, shout out to Joey Decord. All right. We got to talk about another player here, another sell high. And yeah, this might be a bit spicy, everybody, but I'm talking Juraj Slafkovský. All right. That legend just popping the hell off here recently. Let's take a look at what he's been able to do. So last five games, 8 points, 3 goals, 5 assists. Very nice. Just under 21 minutes average time on ice for the kid. This guy's 19. That's crazy. And then on top of that, like his metrics are really, really good as well. In the last five games, 80th overall in shots of goal per 60, 70th overall in shot attempts per 60. And his on-ice numbers are great too. He's 12th overall in the league in Corsi 4 per 60 and 10th overall in scoring chances 4 per 60. Those are his on-ice numbers. So dang, I mean, he's clearly doing the thing. It's kind of funny, Mike. We have a one of our analytics guys here at Apples and Genos. He called this like right before it happened. He was like, what do you guys think about Slafkovský? And we're like, not much. I mean, you know, he doesn't shoot. He doesn't get chances. He's not getting minutes. And then all of a sudden he just starts going ballistic. Right. So, you know, we're definitely more in on Slafkovský now. And I'm not saying that this guy isn't awesome, but my concern with Slafkovský is more to do with his age. And that obviously this is sort of the first time he's broken out like this, of course. The underlyings aren't terrible, like the metrics, but I think this streak is based on high efficiency and the performance of his highly efficient teammates, i.e. the hatchback, Nick Suzuki. So I just think I don't feel comfortable relying on Slafkovský to be a rest of season hold. I feel like this can kind of fall out at any moment just because he's new to this, right? Like he's a 19-year-old kid and there's ups and downs and currently he's flying. But can you parlay this performance into a player that's sort of proven? Like someone with consistent shot and chance generation. And one of the guys I was thinking of, I want to get your take on this. What about a guy like Jordan Kyrou? Would someone take Slafkovský like in his current streak to get a guy like Jordan Kyrou? Like, is that something that people would do? And then what are your thoughts on Slafkovský in general rest of season, Mike?
Yeah. If you could turn Slafkovský into Kyrou, like I would do it. At the same time, I don't have maybe as many concerns about Slafkovský as others. Like I've kind of been following him too for a while. And I actually wrote about him 2 weeks ago in my column quite a bit. Like he, if you look at kind of his numbers going back for the last 6 weeks, he's kind of been holding that spot on the top line with Caulfield and Suzuki pretty well. His minutes have been going steadily up, top power play time, shot and hit volumes going up quite a bit. He just looks like a player that's starting to figure it out. And like you said, he's not like a 90-point player all of a sudden. You know, he's but he might end up being like just like a 30-30 guy, like 30 goals, 30 assists, 60-65-point player, which is, you know, effective in fantasy. So, yeah, I think maybe, you know, there's interesting deals sometimes. Like I know in your league when there's sort of teams at the bottom, like everybody wants to trade for draft picks, right? That's kind of what you do. But I do think there's like the odd move that you could make where – you could almost flip like a good player that you're not going to keep for maybe somebody like Slafkovský that you're thinking about next year for, and maybe he's going to be one of your keepers. So yeah, I wonder if there's a trade like that to be made, because I do kind of think he looks like he's starting to figure it out. He's starting to use his size more, which is kind of a big asset for him. So it's interesting. I think you could probably, you know, if you are looking to move him, his value might be at its highest right now. So that's a good thing. So he's definitely a really, really interesting and polarizing guy right now.
Yeah, I love that. I like that take a lot. I think that at the very least with Slafkovský, sell high or not, like this guy's going to be a player in the NHL. And that's really nice to see because, people were already calling this guy a bust. I mean, he's 19. You know, what the hell? So, maybe he's like a Svechnikov kind of mold, coming out of there. Like this guy's a beefer, 93 hits in 55 games, buddy. He's angry.
Yeah, underrated part of his game. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, and obviously he has chemistry with Caulfield and Nick Suzuki. So it's a great piece. I think you could move off this player if you wanted to. I also like your point about, maybe just giving up a bigger player that you aren't keeping to get a guy like Slafkovský in here. Like this guy's going to be good. And Dynasty, I mean, you got to be super stoked if you got this guy on a Dynasty team because, this could be a 30 and 30 player, even like a 70-point player. I could see that.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago where people were basically writing him off, calling him a bust. Now he at least looks like he's going to be like an NHL player, probably like a top six player at least.
Yeah. So. Yeah. A big thing for me is when you see deployment like that, that just shows that the coach has confidence in you. That means like he's like the anti Andre Kuzmenko, right?
And
he's talented, but he's also defensively, sound, right? He's not going to hurt you when he's out there. So.
Because a lot of guys get those chances, but, we see it last for a week or a week and a half and they get sent back down to the third line or whatever. Like he's kept it and maintained it. So good on him.
Yeah, this bodes well for his future. All right, buddy, give us your second sell high here. Let's get the biz.
I went with Sam Reinhart.
It's called Sex Panther.
King of the shooting percentage. I don't know how much of a sell high he is. I feel like at this point you're just keeping him because he's showed absolutely no signs of slowing down. It's a little bit like Matt Duchene, but just at a really high level, maybe the greatest contract year ever. The Panthers look like they might be the best team in hockey.
They're a wagon.
Yeah. I'm as a Leafs fan, I'm absolutely petrified to face them in a first round matchup. But I don't know. you could probably get a ton for Sam Reinhart right now, but if you had to keep him, I don't think it's the worst thing either.
Yeah, Sam Reinhart, his nickname here on the Cream of the Crop Fantasy Podcast, the Sex Panther, all right? 60% of the time, it works all the time. That's how we do with Reinhart, but, you know, this is a player I love. I picked him up everywhere. I drafted him everywhere this season, not expecting this at all. Like, he's on a 98-point pace. I think I had him for, like, 80 points. I know he massively underachieved last year, as did a lot of Florida Panthers. Like, they just weren't converting for whatever reason. Well, now he's converting. I mean, this guy thinks he's, you know, Andre Kuzmenko. Again, shout out to Big Kuzi, 27% shooting percentage. That's probably not going to stick. But, I mean, his hockey IQ, especially on the power play, is ridiculous. Like, you know, and his coach, Paul Maurice, has said as much. Like, this is probably the most talented player, smartest player I've ever coached. This guy has 22 power play goals on the season already in just 55 games. So if you're going to trade Sam Reinhart, you better get, like, a first rounder, right? He's that level right now.
Yeah. And I always think too, like, a lot of these guys we're talking about, like, the conversation is probably so much different. Like, if it's a 1 year league that you're in versus a keeper league, because if you're in a 1 year league, you're probably just riding this Sam Reinhart streak until it dies. But in a keeper league, you might be thinking, like, maybe I can get something else for him, because next year, I don't think he's going to have these kind of numbers. Right.
Yeah. I don't think there's any chance of Florida signing him after this. So it's like he's going to go somewhere else. Yeah, it's going to be a new face, new place. I don't think we'll be able to expect this kind of production. Like, he's caught lightning in a bottle here with an amazing power play and offensive players there.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch. He's just, like, taking full advantage of it.
The Sex Panther, made with real bits of panther. all right, so those are our sell highs. Now I want to get into some buy lows. This is where the value begins, folks. So you got to listen up here. It's must listen stuff. First off, I want to talk about Kevin Fiala, everybody's favorite player. He's pissing them off on the Kings.
Did anyone order me plain cheese?
So let's dig into what this guy's been doing. So obviously, yeah, he's in a slump. There's no question there. Last five games, 0 points. His ice time is down a bit. He's only playing around 16 and a half minutes. Metrics are decent. 92nd overall on shots on goal per 60, 76 overall on shot attempts per 60, but 169th in individual scoring chances for per 60. That's not great, right? His numbers are better on the season, but 67-point pace, Kevin Fiala. I feel like the coaching change there has not exactly helped him. I think there's still kind of some wiggle room, some stuff going on where they're trying to figure out what they have with everybody, but you know, just for Fiala in particular, his shots on goal and his individual scoring chances for per 60, they're down a bit across the whole season, right? Which is mildly concerning, but to me, it's the time on ice. That's the real issue that I'm not loving with Fiala. Plus, you throw in a coaching change. Like I said, he's just trying to find his place there. That said, I think Fiala is just too talented. And I think there's been sparks as of late as well. Like, maybe not on the score sheet, but, you know, I'm watching the games and I'm seeing Kevin Fiala zip back. Like, he's going really hard on the forecheck, back check. He's finishing his checks. Like, he looks engaged out there, and he's still on power play one. And that's where I think he's going to make bacon, right? So I think people are probably fed up with Fiala. I get so many questions on a guy. That's how I determine to buy low, by the way, Mike. If, like, I get so many questions on the guy, like, can I drop this guy? What am I doing? It's like, buy low. All right, that's a buy low. And I don't think Fiala is going to be like this rest of the season. I think probably closer to a 70-75 point pace. I think that's achievable, but where are you at with Fiala, and what are you doing with him if you have him?
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions about Fiala too. And I think if you've had Fiala in the last couple of years, you probably know he's like the king of the second half run.
Yeah, where's final,
this? Yeah, the final 2 months of the season run. So I think another one could be coming here. I'm with you. If you don't have him, I like him as a buy low. If you have him, I wouldn't be worried about it. I would just hang on to him. I noticed they also tried recently to bump him up with Kempe and Kopitar for a little bit. I think he's dropped back down. And Arvidsson's there too now. I wonder if Arvidsson maybe helps him out a bit. So, yeah, I'm not super concerned about him. I think he's going to have another surge.
There you go, buddy. All right, who you bring to the table? What is a Michael Amato buy low look like?
I got Tage Thompson, who's been a bit better recently, but overall, I think nobody's really happy with Tage Thompson this season. you know, almost had 50 goals last year, almost 100 points, and just nowhere near it this year. Sabres are kind of maybe the most disappointing team for me this year. I just thought they'd be so much better. I thought they'd be a lot more fun to watch, more offense, but yeah, he's struggling. I do think, I don't know how much he's going to improve the rest of the way this year, but I feel like next year, I think he's going to bounce back. I think that team's going to bounce back a bit. So I'd be eyeing more long-term with Thompson and keeping him if you have him, or maybe trying to get him and keep him for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this guy's going to be a majorly undervalued in draft season. He's going to be giving us a ton of value, but yeah, this is insanely frustrating. I didn't draft Tage anywhere, but I did trade for him in three spots. I did do the buy low on Tage, and I'm happy for it, especially recently, because I think he's kind of come around the last couple games. Like, in his last five, he's got 3 points, which is not Tage like, right? Only one goal, but the metrics, Mike, they're pretty darn good. All right. 15th overall in shots to go per 60, 15th overall in individual Corsi 4 per 60 over the last five games. That's nice. And then on the season, it's looking reasonable as well. Part of me thinks that Tage is, he's been playing through an injury or something this year. Like he doesn't look the same. He's not as explosive. The shots, maybe not kind of where it was. Also, what the hell is Don Granato doing? Like, you got Tage Thompson out here and you're playing Casey Mittelstadt like 20 minutes a night. I don't get it. Like, make it make sense, Mr. Granato, because Tage's deployment, that's really the thing that pisses me off the most. Like, get this guy out for 20 minutes on the regular. What are we doing? Like, you know, they're in a 2-1 game, they're not playing Tage. They're not putting Tage out there. They're putting like Dylan Cousins out there, who's a great player in his own right, but I just don't get it. So it's been really frustrating with Tage, that's for sure.
Yeah, they haven't played that line together as much as like the Tuck, Skinner, Thompson line. Like, they're down, I think, to only 25% together. They're over 50% last year. So yeah, it's frustrating. Buffalo's going to be fascinating to me at the deadline, what they do, because I feel like they could trade somebody young and exciting just to clear out some space for some of these young players they have.
They have such a good young group there, don't they? But yeah, this has been a massive disappointment. One thing I do want to say, Buffalo has an amazing playoff schedule. So kick some, put some offers out there for Tage. People are pissed. They're like, get the hell out of my sight, Tage. I drafted you 7th overall or, you know, 9th overall, and you're doing jack squat. But Buffalo has a great playoff schedule, weeks 23 to 25. So keep that in mind as well. And that's what I'm hoping for with my Tage stocks. I don't know. All right. I got to talk about one of your favorites, Mike. We're getting close to the end here. A couple more players. John Tavares. Yeah. This guy, I've had him on the Buy Low show before. And I mean, you're watching him all the time here, but I feel confident in saying that JT is a buy low. And that said, I do want to see a couple more games after this little, you know, day-to-day injury that he's dealing with. I want to just make sure he's all good. But I don't know. Like, when you dig into the metrics here, like, he's been elite all season, right? Maybe not so much the last five games or three games here. Last three games, 0 points, but he is still getting his reasonable time on ice, which is like just over 18 minutes. Still power play one, which means a hell of a lot when you play on Toronto. And then on the season, he's only pacing for 63. And I think that's low. I think that's really low. Like, this guy, he is 5th overall in the entire league in individual scoring chances for John Tavares. So that's not a player. I just don't see 63 maintaining rest of season. His shooting percentage is 7.9. That's crazy low. His on-ice shooting percentage, 10.6. That's a little bit low. Those things should all come up. And I do think that, if he's healthy, they will. So what are you seeing from John Tavares? And do you think this is a buy low situation, or is he a 63-point player?
Yeah, I think it's a buy low. If you look at his numbers last year to this year, the biggest discrepancy is the power play production. It's down quite a bit. So the Leafs power play was kind of struggling for a bit there before the All-Star break. It's picked it up. Nylander, too, had a really slow stretch after he signed his contract. And now he's picked it up. So they obviously played together quite regularly. So I think that's going to help him. And yeah, he was kind of snake bit a little bit. Tavares, like you said, he gets a lot of scoring chances. He hasn't been finishing. But yeah, I think he's definitely a buy low. I think that Leafs power play is too good to be like, you know, sort of that quiet for long. I think it's going to pick up, and I think Nylander is going to get going again. I would definitely buy low on him. I think by the time the season's done, he's closer to like 75 points or something like that.
Hell yes. Oh my God. Something I love about fantasy hockey is I get to enjoy multiple teams now. Like, before I started playing fantasy hockey, like, I hated the Leafs. I honestly hated them. And now I love the Leafs. I'm like, because they have the best fantasy players. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, Austin Matthews, what is this man doing this year? This is epic stuff. Like, I'm here for it. I'm such a fan of that player. So you must be loving that. Like, how is the vibe out there going into the playoffs for the Leafs?
It is shit, Austin.
Oh, good. Then it's not just me.
It's weird. Like, it's everyone's loving what Matthews is doing, but I think like there's not as much confidence in the team as years past, just because like a lot of the pieces around them this year like haven't been playing as well. Like, you know, TJ Brody kind of looks old all of a sudden, and right. maybe not as dominant as he was. Like, Bertuzzi really hasn't worked out. He's played pretty well and he's getting a lot of chances, but he hasn't scored. Like, yep. Domi's kind of been okay. So I think a lot of the pieces around those guys haven't been performing as well. So I think some, you know, people are thinking they shouldn't do a ton at the deadline, like definitely don't go all in. So we'll see what they do. But
yeah, I don't know why, but I had so much more faith in Dubas as opposed to Tree Living, right? Like, I'm like, yeah, don't do anything, buddy. Don't screw this up. Like, they're good. Like, just wait it out. I think you're good enough to do something. You know, hopefully yeah. if Samsonov or anybody can really take that crease and run with it. Like, you know, I think there's a good shot.
Yeah.
All right. We got one more. We got to talk about it. Thank you for bringing this player to the table. He's one of my favorites, actually. Not this season, but go ahead with your last buy low, Mike.
Yeah, I went with Juuse Saros, who's a bit of an interesting one. I wonder if he could be the benefactor of a trade somewhere. Mm-hmm. I've seen his name out there a little bit. We'll see. Although his numbers really don't kind of attest to the fact that he's just a guy on a average team. Like, they're kind of actually down in some of the metrics. Just like goal saved above expected. He's
yeah,
close to massive. What he was last year, which kind of makes you concerned. But you just see what like a move. Like, remember last year, Jonas Korpisalo went to the Kings, for example, played really well down the stretch. I wonder if something like that could help Saros.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a stash play as well. And I would tend to agree, like, this guy's an elite tendy. I mean, this is definitely an off year, like a way off year. I wouldn't be surprised if something comes out like he has been battling an injury, or there's a personal situation that's kind of surrounding his season, because this is not the player we've seen over the last three seasons, right? Like, you know, his save percentage is 902. I think that's the lowest of his career. No. Yeah, that's the lowest of his career. Goals against. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the highest of his career. So he's just having a rough season. But yeah, that said, I would be all over Juuse Saros. I think some people are talking to me about dropping Saros. Can I drop Saros? And I just keep saying, like, wait until after the trade deadline, right? There's no point. Like, if you can, just hold him until the trade deadline and see what happens, right? Maybe after that, you can drop him if need be, like if you're scrapping for a playoff spot. But this guy, he's one of the workhorses of the NHL, and he's elite. Just not this season. So I don't know. What do you think about like maybe stashing Kevin Lankinen? Because I think there's a good opportunity or a good chance that Saros gets moved here at the deadline. And I think Lankinen will just step in. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Or I was going to say, or even Askarov, right? Like, if he's moving, probably gets called up. And then maybe next year he's the guy there. So
absolutely. Yeah. Got to keep an eye on that Nashville crease. Buddy, Mike, thanks for your service, man. Oh, my God. I'm loving the stuff you guys are doing over there at Sleepers and Keepers, man. That is such a nice piece. Yeah, just having another podcast here with different perspectives. Like, how have you been enjoying that?
Good. Yeah, it's been lots of fun. It's been good getting to know Jason. We're trying to do more, you know, more questions from listeners, just trying to get that perspective. We find it gets us talking more about different things, going on tangents. And a lot of people have similar questions, right? So it's relevant to a lot of different people. So it's been a kind of a fun format.
Yeah, buddy, that's awesome. I love mailbag type stuff. I kind of get, because we have some mailbag segments with Apples and Genos, like Nate does some, and then Josh does some on Thursday. So I'm kind of in the middle. So I don't get to do the mailbag. Oh, so whenever I get a chance, I'm always super stoked. But I don't know. What you guys got going over there, Sleepers and Keepers, is good stuff. Just probably the two most handsome guys on a podcast. So you definitely want to be checking that out. But while I got you, before I let you go, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you and what's going on?
Just on X or Twitter at @AmatoMike_Mike. That's the best place to find all my stuff. And yeah, 20 Fantasy Thoughts Sundays on Sportsnet, and the Fantasy Hockey Mailbag Fridays at Sportsnet as well. And Sleepers and Keepers at the Hockey News, new episodes every Monday.
Damn, Skippy. This guy's a legend. Mike, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate that. And thank you, listeners, for checking us out. Hit us up in the comments. Let us know if you're able to make any of these buy lows or sell highs. We do have the trade deadline is coming up, so we're going to be doing an awesome trade deadline show here at Apples and Genos. So keep your eyes open for that. But that's it, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Celebrate your day. Bye for now.